Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Dr. Jesus Hernandez is an urban sociologist whose ideas about social problems and urban challenges are provocative to some people. He joined us in May of 2018 to explain some of his ideas. And then we asked him to come back with potential solutions, particularly to issues of urban inequality. He brought up climate change. So here's more of our conversation, and it's helpful to know that Dr. Hernandez looks at problems in a neighborhood in somewhat of a medical model.
One of the things I discovered in my research is that we leave out neighborhoods from this equation of how cities work. Neighborhoods are connected to regions, to states, to nations, and you really can't have a city or a county without neighborhoods. This neighborhood is an important unit of analysis for understanding all of the social issues and tensions that happen in our cities. You know, and what triggered our conversation was, of course, the shootings that were police shootings that were happening. And so what we wanted to do is to show a good way to explain these tensions was to look at the neighborhood as a patient.
The approach often to revitalizing a neighborhood is to empower the community through meetings, gatherings, more dialogue, more public spotlight, if you will, and also to bring in outside investment in some sort of development. People probably aren't hearing, but you're actually kind of chuckling as I'm listing
well,
this.
Well, you have to chuckle about these things because if you don't, you get very, very angry and, you know, you wind up blocking freeways and
so
things.
So needless
of that sort.
To say, you think those approaches, well, maybe well-intentioned, are not the answers.
You know, as we have, you know, this community empowerment, and we go over there and empower people, but the people in the neighborhoods aren't the problem. Race and poverty is caused by public policy and where we plan our schools and which schools do we close and where do we put our freeways and where do we put our public investment. These are not things decided by neighborhoods.
And let me add there that in this X across the region, you do say that most of the public investment follows the lines
of the X. We can actually map out all of our public investment dollars. And what they do is they circle that space. They go to the outer edges. They go to the suburbs. And in the middle of this, we have lack of public transit. This is where we close the schools. We don't have good transportation and bus lines, and those are usually the first ones that close when we see the housing crisis and how the city lost all this money. We go into these models of austerity where we just strip the poor.
Okay, so now if we go right to solutions, on one hand, we use your medical model and what does the doctor need to come in and do. I'm going to add to that that we've got the mayor with his policies and his focus on asking the public and the city council for more money via Measure U. So two things. Go ahead.
So on Measure U, I'm going to ask you to save just a little portion at the end of the show so that we could talk about that in more detail.
Okay.
And what I wanted to do now is provide the context for that response.
Go ahead.
So what we're missing right now is we're following this medical model again. We're talking about what's the diagnosis? What do we see? And we see these critical patient systems are malfunctioning. In order to understand what solutions mean, we really have to go back to some of the very legislation. A lot of that legislation has a lot to do with climate change. You know, how we're taking care of our environment and reducing those greenhouse gas emissions. And the thing is that we really need to get our neighborhoods ready to participate in that. And so this climate change really offers us the opportunity to make some calculated interventions in these neighborhoods. You know,
I didn't see you going there at all.
Well, you know.
So give me a specific example.
If Davis can be green, South Sacramento can be green.
That's true.
So the thing is, what this means is that we really want the environment, this investment in social and physical infrastructure must protect our natural resources. Our economy must be circular in nature so that when we invest, it should produce a return to the neighborhood. How does this really work? When we look at neighborhoods, we look at reliability. Can I fix these problems? Restoration. What do I fix and how do I fix it? We look at resilience. How can I prevent future things from happening? So these are the kind of things that we looked at. And I spent 3 years studying the neighborhood of North Franklin, putting together a comprehensive neighborhood plan for the area to demonstrate how macro-level climate change can actually be used to revitalize a neighborhood. And I did this on my own dime because nobody actually funds these kind of things at universities.
Well, frankly, there would be more attention on how many police officers are on the street than what do we do in response to climate change.
So we looked at where bus lines go. We looked at where schools are. We looked at where housing is missing. One of the things that we did is determine the assets available to this neighborhood. And there's a lot more assets than people think. There's vacant lots, commercial corridors, light rail stations, people working, nonprofits working on this, and the climate change policy itself. And so what we did is looked at this and said, okay, the first thing we need to do is make the streets like everybody else's streets, like downtown. So we looked at complete streets. We won a community design grant of $400,000 to redesign and green the street, make it active transportation where people can walk through the corridor, buy food, and be safe. You know, and that makes it look just like downtown and encourages people to shop down there. Also won an energy efficiency grant of $5 million to do energy efficiency, weatherization, rooftop solar for low-income households. That provides important workforce development, lowers energy costs, brings environmental benefits to the neighborhood. Now you can see how we're starting to connect the dots. Now we're looking at renewable energy. We're currently developing a 3-megawatt solar farm that produces 6 million kilowatt hours of energy a year. In a vacant lot. We're turning that into an asset. And then we're working with SMUD to sell the energy to SMUD, take the revenues and plug it back into the neighborhood, into healthcare that's missing, public transit that's missing. So now that you can see, we're beginning to connect these dots.
And most significantly, you've stepped back and kind of shifted the frame. And now we're looking forward.
So
how
now
do we bring the neighborhood forward?
We're using neighborhood assets rather than a subsidy. Now we're using the investment to reproduce those cycles of income and keep them in the neighborhood rather than have money leave the neighborhood. And this is important.
We brought up the mayor. I do want to tell you that last week when he was here talking about Measure U and rent control, I asked him about your take on the city. In fact, we played part of your comments to him. And we asked him to, in turn, give a comment back. And so this is the first time you're hearing it, I know, but you're going to get some of the mayor's reaction to some of what you've been saying.
Okay.
Here goes.
From what I heard, he could have written my speech. Poverty is generational, and the trauma that exists in our communities is very real and longstanding. The lack of opportunity is very real and longstanding. Triage sounds to me, and I know we use it in the homeless context, as the transition between getting off the riverbank and the streets and permanent housing. I think we need to do more than triage when it comes to homelessness and more than triage when it comes to addressing generational poverty. While change does not happen overnight, that we are committed to having it all. A destination city, a city with every amenity that will attract and retain people to want to live in our wonderful and beloved city, but a city that extends that opportunity to people who have for generations been left behind and left out.
When I hear him talk, it's interesting. I'm thrown back decades to the way it's always been. When I hear you talk, I hear a leap forward, and it's kind of that phrase that's often attributed to Einstein, a problem can't be solved at the level it was created. So you're asking us to take a leap forward so we can look at the problem differently in the rearview mirror.
Well, all we have to do is use the tools that are available to us. When we talk about sustainability, we usually throw this word around like candy. But if we look at the real meaning of it and how it helps us to design our neighborhoods through restoration and regeneration. If we use that as a design, we're never going to talk about race at all. We don't need to. Because this whole thing about sustainability is that economy, environment, and equity need to be equal because they are interdependent. They relate to each other. And if one goes bad, they all goes bad. And that's the problem, is we don't look at the true meaning of sustainability, so we can't apply it, and the money just goes to waste. Two of the things that are happening right now in Sacramento is renewable energy and health. Those are workforce development pathways, and we need to bring those down to our neighborhoods. And by using renewable energy, we not only reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, but we create jobs, and we produce energy in these neighborhoods. So these neighborhoods now become producers of energies, not just users of energy.
All right, now's the time for the Measure U response that you have. The mayor's Measure U plan is to double the half-cent sales tax to 1 penny and make it permanent.
Okay.
Which adds another $50 million in revenue.
Well, to be frank, what needs to be clear is the method of distribution. Who's going to be at the table to ensure that Measure U is distributed equally? What is the exact purpose of Measure U? Is it neighborhood revitalization? Is that a part of the purpose? If so, we need to see some real details on what that really means and how it's supposed to happen. And how does neighborhoods specifically fit into this plan? You know, that really doesn't tell me how my patient fits into this broad scheme of things. What it says is we're going to get a lot of medicine. But is that the right medicine for my neighborhood? Because we've been giving a lot of medicine called patience and hope, and that medicine doesn't work anymore. We need to see some real planning at the neighborhood scale, and we need to know that fixing our neighborhoods is a priority, as high as a priority as building an arena downtown. And we need to know that part of this Measure U is going to be targeted at actually doing the type of planning necessary to undo 50, 60 years of harm.
In your Franklin neighborhood plan, is this a first place where the city's efforts and your efforts will merge?
I don't know that. How I wrote this plan was that what would a neighborhood do if it absolutely had nothing? No money coming in, no resources, because this neighborhood has little of. And so that's this perspective we did. How does a neighborhood basically learn how to support itself?
Hmm.
The level of work that's needed to overcome 50 years of hardship.
Right. That was urban sociologist Dr. Jesus Hernandez talking with us in 2018. You can find more Encore Conversations from Insight at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.